Welcome to Zichru Daf Siman. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldhar, and today we're Masechta Shabbos Daf Chav Zayin. So the three points we're going to focus on. Number one, a brice is brought to support Rava's view that Rabbi Shimon Elazar is of the opinion that even materials other than wool and linen are makabel tuma if they're 3x3 tefachim. The brice states from the word in the parsha of Tuma Sheretz, beged, a garment, we can only learn the source for a garment of wool and linen, similar to the specified beged, garment, in the parsha of Tzaras. When the Torah states, O beged, or a garment, one can derive that other garments are makabel tuma from a sheretz as well. Abayu holds that according to everyone, garments of other materials besides wool and linen are not makabel tuma. He uses his drasha to teach that cloth of wool or linen that are even 3x3 finger breadths, as baos, are makabel tuma from a sheretz. Point number two was taught in a brisa regarding tzitzis that the pasuk of Uri'isim Oso, and you shall see it, implies that there's no obligation to wear tzitzis when wearing a night garment, a ksus laila, since they can't be seen at night. And point number three, the third mission in the Perek states that anything that comes from a tree may not be used as a wick to light for Shabbos, except for flax, for pishtan. Since flax is not a tree, the Gemara seeks the source where it's referred to as a tree, which therefore compelled the Mishnah to exclude flax from all other trees. It quotes from the pasuk from the story of Rachel when she hides the two spies on the roof. It says, and she brought them up to the roof and hid them in the trees of flax, but pishtei eitz. Therefore, we see that flax is referred to as a tree. All right, so let's review. Point number one, a brice is brought to support Rava's view, that Rabbi Shimon Elazar of the opinion that even materials other than wool or linen are makabel tuma if they are 3x3 tefachim. The brice states that from the word in the parsha of Tuma Sheretz, beged, a garment, we can only learn the source for a garment of wool or linen, similar to the specified beged, garment, in the parsha of Tzaras. When the Torah states, O beged, or a garment, one can derive that other garments are makabel tuma from sheretz as well. Abayu holds that according to everyone, garments of other materials besides wool and linen are not makabel tuma. He uses this drasha to teach that cloth of wool or linen that are even 3x3 finger breadths, 3x3 etzba'os, are makabel tuma from a sheretz. Point number two is taught in a brace regarding tzitzis at the pasuk of Re'isim Oso, and you shall see it implies that there's no obligation to wear tzitzis when wearing a night garment, ksus laila, since they cannot be seen at night. In point number three, the third mission of the Perek states that anything that comes from a tree may not be used as a wick to light for Shabbos except for flax. Since flax is not a tree, the Gemara seeks a source where it is referred to as a tree, which therefore compelled the Mishnah to exclude flax from all the trees. It quotes the pasuk from the story of Rachel when she hides the two spies on her roof. It says she brought them up to the roof and hid them in the trees of flax. But Pishtei eitz. All right, so now we go to our siman. So the siman for Chav Zayin is a kazoo. A kazoo. A kazoo is a toy musical instrument that one blows in to create a buzzing sound. Kids play with this a lot. Cheap little instrument. Here it goes. The little boy blew his annoying kazoo every time he saw someone be matami their garments made from any material while wearing his pajamas with no tzitzis and hiding behind the flax tree. Once again, in slow motion. The little boy blew his annoying kazoo. Kazoo, that means we're on Daf Chav Zayin. The little boy blew his annoying kazoo every time he saw someone be matami their garments made from any material, which reminds us, a brice is brought to support Rava's view. The Rabbi Shimon Elazar is of the opinion that even materials other than wool and linen are makabel tuma if there are 3x3 tefachim. The brice states that from the word in the parsha of Tuma Sheretz, beged, a garment, we can only learn the source for a garment of wool or linen, similar to the specified beged garment in the parsha of Tzaras. When the Torah states, O beged, or a garment, one can derive that other garments are makabel tuma from a sheretz as well. Abayu holds that according to everyone, garments of other materials besides wool and linen are not makabel tuma. He used this drasha to teach that a cloth of wool or linen that are even 3x3 finger breadths, etzba'os, are makabel tuma from a sheretz. So the little boy blew his annoying kazoo every time he saw someone be matame their garments made from any material while wearing his pajamas no tzitzis, which reminds us it was taught in a brisa regarding tzitzis that the pasuk of Uri'isim Oso, and you shall see it, implies that there's no obligation to wear tzitzis when wearing a night garment, ksus laila, since they can't be seen at night. So the little boy blew his annoying kazoo every time he saw someone be matami their garments made from any material wearing his pajamas no tzitzis and hiding behind the flax tree. Which reminds us, the third mission of the Perek states that anything that comes from a tree may not be used as a wick to light for Shabbos except for pishtan, flax. Since flax is not a tree, the Gemara seeks the source where it's referred to as a tree, which therefore compelled the Mishnah to exclude flax from all the trees. It quotes a pasuk from the story of Rachel when she hides the two spies on a roof, and she brought them up to the roof and hid them in the trees of flax, but Pishtei eitz. So once again, the little boy blew his annoying kazoo every time he saw someone be matame their garments made from any material while wearing his pajamas with no tzitzis and hiding behind the flax tree. And now it's time for four bar bar chazara. Daf Chaf Gimel. So the symbol of Chaf Gimel is a keg. So here goes. The beer maker places glass lantern menorah on his keg. Keg? That reminds us we're on Daf Chaf Gimel. The beer maker places glass lantern menorah on his keg, which reminds us the question arose on Daf Chaf Beis, on the base, whether the primary mitzvah act of a menorah is the lighting of the menorah or the placement. Hadlaka osa mitzvah or hanacha osa mitzvah. So on this Daf, two proofs are brought that the lighting is the primary mitzvah. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said in the case of a glass lantern that was burning throughout Shabbos, Hanukkah, that on Motzei Shabbos one should extinguish it and then relight it to fulfill the mitzvah. From the fact that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi does not require lifting the lantern up and placing it down, we learn that the mitzvah is through the lighting. From the fact that the text of the bracha is, Asher Hashem Mitzvah Yisrael Betzivanu Lahadik Ner Shel Chanukah, who has sanctified us with his commandments and has commanded us to kindle the Chanukah light, it's obvious the rabbis view the lighting as the primary fulfillment of the mitzvah. So the beer maker places glass lantern menorah on his keg and lit with three brachas, while someone passing by only said two, which reminds Rav Chiya Bar Ashi said in the name of Rav, the one who lights the menorah must make a bracha, and Rav Yirmiyah said, one who sees a burning menorah must make a bracha. Now this is referring to someone passing by, either in the street or in a boat, who is not lit and will not do so that night. That's according to Rashi. So Rav Yehuda said that on the first day of Hanukkah, one who sees a menorah says two brachas, she'asa nisim and shechiyanu, and one who lights says three brachas. He says, L'hadik ner, she'asa nisim and shechiyanu. The remaining nights, the one who lights recites two brachas, and the one who sees the lights recites one. The Gemara clarifies that the bracha that's eliminated on the remaining nights is the bracha of shechiyanu. He continues saying, she'asa nisim, though, as a miracle occurred on each of the eight nights. So the beer maker places glass lantern menorah on his keg and lit with three brachas, while someone passing by only said two, because his wife needed oil to light for Shabbos, and he wanted shalom bayis. Which reminds us, Rav has said that it's obvious to him that if a person does not have enough money to purchase oil for Shabbos licht and for menorah, that purchasing for Shabbos licht takes precedence because of shalom bayis. It was also obvious to him that if the choice was between Shabbos licht and wine for Kiddush, the Shabbos licht takes precedence because of shalom bayis. Rav did have a question, though, regarding which takes precedence, oil for menorah or wine for Kiddush. On the one hand, Kiddush may be preferable because it comes more frequently. Tadir v'sheino tadir, tadir kodem. On the other hand, the menorah may be preferable because of Parsim and Nisa publicizing the miracle. He eventually resolved his own question and stated that the menorah takes precedence because of Parsim and Nisa. Daf Chav Dalet. So the symbol Chav Dalet is a pitcher, a cut, a pitcher. So here goes. The pitcher, reminding us we're in Daf Chav Dalet. The pitcher of Tami Trum oil that had big Al HaNisim and Yalav Yavur written on it to remind people, to include them in their benching and their tefillahs, which reminds us. The question was asked whether one is required to mention the miracle of Chanukah and Birkas Hamazon in Al HaNisim. Do we say that since Chanukah is only a Drabanan, one is not obligated to mention it, or perhaps because of the importance of Parsim and Nisa publicizing the miracle, one must mention it? So Rav has said in the name of Rav Schora, who said in the name of Rav, that one is not obligated to mention it, but if he wishes to, then he should mention it in the section of Hodah that begins with Nodelocha. And also Rav Oshia taught in a braisa said that on days when there's an obligation to bring a Karban Musaf, such as Rosh Chodesh or Chol HaMoed, in the evening, morning, and afternoon, one davens the Shemoneh Esrei and recites Yalav Yavo in the bracha of Avoda in Ritzei. One also recites Yalav Yavo in Berachas Hamazon on these days. So again, the picture of Tami Trumo that had big Al HaNisim Yalav Yavo written on it to remind people to include them in their benching and their tefillahs was poured out on the first day of Chol HaMoed so the oil could be burned. Which reminds us, the Gemara explains that one may not burn Tami Trumo oil, Shemen Sreif on Yantav, because one may not burn disqualified sacred offerings on Yantav, Ein Sorf and Kachem Yantav. Chizkiya, and so too one of the sages from Chizkiya's academy taught, that the source for this law is from the pasuk regarding the Karban Pesach, Losi Sir Menu Ad Boker. You should not leave any of it until the morning, Vanosi Menu Ad Boker Be'esh Tisrafu, and that which is left until the morning you shall burn in fire. The reason that until morning was mentioned a second time was to teach that the time to burn the Karban Pesach is the second morning, which is the first day of Chol HaMoed, and to prohibit the burning of Kadshim on the first morning, meaning Yantav. Daf Chaf Hei. So the symbol Chaf Hei is a silver anniversary. So here goes. The silver anniversary party, which reminds us we're on Daf Chaf Hei. The silver anniversary party was a disaster when the wealthy man's 100 servants, which reminds us, the question was asked in a braisa, Ezu Asher, who is wealthy? Ramir says it's anyone who takes pleasure in his wealth, and Rashi says, be it large or small. Rabbi Tarfon says anyone who has 100 vineyards, 100 fields, and 100 servants who work in those fields. Rabbi Kiva says anyone who has a beautiful wife in deeds, isha na b'maasim. Rabbi Yossi says anyone who has a bathroom near his table, meaning near where he eats. So the silver anniversary party was a disaster when the wealthy man's 100 servants ran out of tamei truma to cook the food, which reminds us, the Gemara teaches that one may benefit, one can get hana from the burning of truma, that is tamei. Rav Nachman said in the name of Rav Abba Avua that this is learned from the pasuk of Ani hinei nesati lecha es mishmeres trumasai, and behold, I have given to you the safeguard of my truma offerings. The Torah speaks of two trumos, one that is tahor and one that is tamei, and the pasuk says lecha, that's given to you, meaning it shall be yours to burn under your pot. So the silver anniversary party was a disaster when the wealthy man's 100 servants ran out of tamei truma to cook the food, and the guests couldn't take the stench from the itron they used to light the room. Which reminds Rabbi Shmuel, the mission prohibited from lighting with itron due to Kavod Shabbos. Rav explains that itron's foul odor may cause someone to leave the illuminated room and eat in the dark, and he holds that because of Kavod Shabbos, one needs to eat where there is light. And Rav quotes from Nachum Bar Zavda, some say it was from Nachum Bar Rava, who said in the name of Rav, that lighting where one eats on Shabbos is an obligation. Hadlakas nerbis Shabbos chova. And washing one's hand and feet in warm water is optional. That's rishus. And I, Rav Nachman, say that washing is a mitzvah. So once again, the silver anniversary party was a disaster when the wealthy man's 100 servants ran out of tamei truma to cook the food and the guests couldn't take the stench from the itron they used to light the room. Dav Chavav. So Simr Chavav is a military coup. So here goes. The soldiers threatened. That sounds like a military coup. That means we're on Dav Chavav. The soldiers threatened to use sweet-smelling balsam oil and napalm bombs, which reminds us, it was taught in Brisa, Rabbi Shimon Elazar prohibits kindling the Shabbos lights with balsam tzuri. Rabbi explains it was prohibited because it's dangerous due to being highly flammable. Secondly, one might be tempted to use some of the oil in the lamp because of the aroma, and by removing oil, it would cause the fire to go out more quickly and thereby be over on mechaba, on extinguishing. Rabbi Shimon Elazar provides an additional reason why balsam is prohibited for lighting. He explains that since it comes from the sap of the tree, not the fruit extract, it doesn't draw well through the wick. So the soldiers threatened to use sweet-smelling balsam oil and napalm bombs to take over the olive oil plantation, which reminds us of Tanya Brisa, when Rabbi Tarfon said that one can only use olive oil for Shabbos light, Rabbi Yochum and Nuri rose to a beat and objected, given that many communities do not have access to olive oil. He said that the only oils forbidden to use are the ones that are specifically prohibited by the Rabbanan. So the soldiers threatened to use sweet-smelling balsam oil and napalm bombs to take over the olive oil plantation, before the poor workers surrendered wearing tiny, tattered, and tummy garments of wool and linen. Which reminds us, any garment, any bag made from wool or linen that is a minimum of 3 finger breadths, 3 etzbaos by 3 etzbaos finger breadths, can be makabel tumah from tzaras. This is because a garment of this size is fitting to be used by the poor. Our Bryce explains the source for this, that if the Torah had written in the parsha of tzaras beged, then would it have implied only a complete garment of wool or flax can become tummy. Since the Torah wrote instead the habeged and the beged, the vav and the hey come to include even a smaller garment. All right, now it's time for our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachas. Here goes number 1. Which daf do we learn that Yal V'Yavo is recited on days when Musaf is recited? That's on daf Chaf Dalet. Good. Number 2. Where do we learn that one should not embark on a boat less than 3 days before Shabbos? That's on daf Yud Tes. Good. Number 3. Where do we learn that garments that are worn at night do not require tzitzis? That's on daf Chav Zayin. Good. Number 4. Where do we learn the reason one must eat in a room that is illuminated is because of Kavod Shabbos, and that's the reason we can't light with itron because of the stench? That's on daf Chav Hey. Good. Number 5. Where do we learn that the decree that when truma is replanted, the produce has the same status regarding tumah? That's on daf Yud Zayin. Good. Number 6. Where do we learn the reason why, according to Rav Ashi, the glassware contracts tuma when touched on its outer surface is because of its transparency? That's on daf Tezayin. Good. Number 7. Where do we learn that one is permitted to burn tamei truma? That's on daf Chaf Hey. Good. Number 8. Where do we learn the pasuk that refers to pishtan flax as a tree? That's on daf Chav Zayin. Good. Number 9. Where do we learn the glassware that was tamei broken and then refashioned does not revert to its old status of tumah? That's on daf Tezayin. Good. And number 10, where do we learn the menorah takes precedence over kiddush because of parsimonisa? That's on daf Chaf Gimel. Good. Now we're going to go to the 3 bonus questions from Brachas. Number 1, where do we learn the concept of lo gerush? One should not go into a cemetery wearing tzitzis out. That's on daf Yud Ches. Good. Number 2, what do we learn about the fruits of ginosar that were so sweet they required salt and therefore bread that was eaten with them was tuffle? That's on daf Mem Dalet. Good. And number 3, what do we learn about Shnai Mikra Be'echad Targum? That's on daf Ches. Excellent. All right, that concludes our pop quiz and the bonus questions and brachas. This is Rabbi Avraham Gold from Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.